Amen. Good morning. You know, I was just sitting there thinking, Eric shared that story. I was thinking, what would it be like to be Paul, you know, sharing the gospel with people? Your life's been transformed. Your life's been changed. You feel compelled to share the gospel of Jesus with people and to see nine people that you know changed, see them respond, and then see them all killed for that message as a result of them putting their faith in Christ. And he's still alive. He's still sharing that message, knowing that it might cost those people their lives and his life. And we sit back and have it pretty easy here in America, don't we? I mean, and praise God for that, right? But we should be compelled to do something. You know, with what we know, the truth we found, if Jesus is real in our lives, we should be compelled to share the gospel at the very least. And so anyhow, this morning as we get started, that just hit me really hard. So I want to pray for us and just pray for our time this morning. God, just thank you for that reminder. God, thank you that we have a real reminder of brothers and sisters who are laying down their lives for the gospel. And God, just because we live here in America, I don't believe you've called us to do anything different, Lord. So we want to be available. We want to listen to you. We want to be obedient. We want to be used by you. And God, we're thankful that we can share openly here and not worry about it costing our lives. But Lord, if you would call us to go somewhere, I pray that we would be full of faith and bold enough to do that, Lord, that we would follow you. And God, so just work in our hearts. Prepare our hearts to hear from you this morning and do what you want to do in our hearts, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So we've been going through a series, and it's just titled Be. And we've talked about the need to, as Psalm 46 says, be still and know that I'm God. The need to listen, you know, as we're running through the craziness of life and so many things that distract us, the need to be still and to slow down and to connect with God. And then after that, we talked about needing to be transformed. In Romans, it says, don't be conformed to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And so slowing down and being still and listening to God and having our mind transformed by his word. I even think, like I was thinking about today as we were singing some of those songs, that the words to those songs, as we sing them, as we listen to them at home, the truth of God washes over us and transforms our minds and transforms our hearts. And then last week we talked about the need to be present in the moment, you know, not too distracted, being present with God, knowing that he's with us by his Holy Spirit. And then when we encounter people, those are divine appointments oftentimes where God wants to use us and he wants his love to flow through us. He wants us to share truth with people. And he uses everyday average people like all of us in this room. And so as we've talked through that brings us to today where we're going to talk about what it means to be available. And so it's going to be a little different as we get going here, but when we talk about being available, what I mean by that is simply that we should be available to the Lord all the time, right? Not just we come on Sunday mornings and you know, I'm available to God, or the times in your worship time, or God, if you want to do something through me, you know, I'm available to do this or that. Oh, it's a life of surrender. We went through Romans 12. It talked about being a living sacrifice on the altar for God. Our worship is truly giving our lives fully and wholly back to him. And so if you go back to just the first disciples, right? When the first disciples encountered Jesus, he called them and he called them and he said with two words. And you remember what he said to those first disciples? Follow me, right? That was his call. That's always been his call. Follow me. Jesus wasn't interested in making Christians. He wasn't interested in establishing a religion. He was calling people to follow him, and he was making disciples. And disciples are those who follow Jesus and who trust in him. And so as we follow Jesus, that doesn't always lead us to places of comfort, right? You read through the scriptures, and it certainly wasn't that for the disciples. We heard this morning from Eric things that are going on around the world. And so we want to be surrendered and available to God, to whatever he might call us to. John 16, 12 to 14 is a good reminder that God still speaks to us and he leads us. And this is what Jesus said to the disciples before he left. He said, there's so much more I want to tell you, but you can't bear it now. When the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all truth. He will not speak on his own, but will tell you what he has heard. He will tell you about the future. He will bring me glory by telling you whatever he receives from me. All that belongs to the Father is mine. That is why I said the Spirit will tell you whatever he receives from me. All right, so regardless of all that you read into that, there's a lot there that Jesus says the Spirit will do for the disciples. But just get this, the Holy Spirit is given to us to communicate God's truth to us and to lead us. He did that with the first apostles, and he still does that today. So again, going back to our series, are we still enough to listen? Are we being transformed? Are we present? And are we available? So I want to invite Brock and Carrie Johnson to come on up and Roxanne to come up. And we're going to talk a little bit about being available to God just whenever he would call, whatever he would call us to do. You want to sit over here? This is my wife, Roxanne. Brock and Carrie Johnson. Brock and Carrie have been missionaries in Guatemala for 10 plus years, and we've had a relationship for about that long. So we're going to talk a little bit about that this morning. But most of you know a little bit of our story. It was about 12 years ago now when the Lord called me out of a ministry that I was a part of here in town, a church that we had a role in. Why am I feel like I'm sitting way up and you guys are all back, all right? Spin your seat if you want to go down. There you go. All right. So a church that I was a part of helping start, and we were on staff for 7 years. And I just want to make sure this is clear. You know, the Lord led me to step away from that ministry. And it's not because there was all these evil things or anything like that going on. He was doing something in my heart. And I'll be honest, there was things that I was seeing that I was struggling with. When a church goes from 200 to 2,000 in a couple of years, and you know, all of a sudden, you have a mortgage payment of $50,000 a month and salaries that are about the same, that can tend to change things, and it can change people. I mean, just think about it. That's $1 million a year that needs to come in just for basic expenses, and it can cause you to do things a certain way. And so I was unsettled by some of that, and the Lord was stirring in me and leading me to take a step away from that. And when I took a step away and decided, you know, that it was time for me to resign, it didn't meet. You know, it wasn't met with this great, praise God that he's leading you somewhere else. We're going to bless you as you go. It wasn't quite like that. I wish it would have been, but it wasn't. And so there was a struggle there in stepping away. It was more like we had this conversation on Wednesday, and it was like, okay, make sure you clean out your office by Friday. And never even got to say goodbye to this church that we served and loved for 7+ years. And there was a lot of wounds there. But God communicated his love in so many ways, and he used people who were available. Two quick things I want to mention about that. One, there was a couple, Dennis and Eve Fairchild, who were dear friends of ours. And when we took that step away, they had already kind of taken a similar step. And I remember them coming and just saying, hey, whatever you guys do, just want to let you know we're with you and we love you. And, you know, we feel God calling us into something new. And they were there and they were available. And I can tell you that had they not been there in that moment, I would have not taken a step to start this Bible study that turned into Journey Church, that eventually turned into Emmaus Church. I just wouldn't have done it on my own. God knew I needed someone. We needed someone by our side. And then two other real quick things. In the midst of walking away and feeling, you know, labeled disloyal and people saying things about us that weren't true and a lot of wounds, I've had some of the deepest wounds in my life by Christians, which is sad to say, but it's true. And I remember being at home and people who were close friends to us basically telling us they can't talk to us anymore, all this crazy stuff. And two people showed up at our door one night, two friends of ours who were a part of that ministry, and they came in and they just said, listen, we want to tell you we love you guys. We're praying for you. Now, at this point, we haven't talked about starting a church or anything like that. Both these people at different times came in that evening. And they gave us a card, and we opened those cards after they left. We they prayed with us, and we cried, and we opened those cards after we left. And one was a family had written some really nice stuff, and there was a check for $5,000. And these are not millionaire families or anything, and said, listen, whatever you choose to do, if God's leading you to start a church or whatever, just use this. And the other one was a check for $6,000. Like, just totally like, listen, you know, it was like God saying, I'm with you, you know, whatever you do. And those were just people who were available and were such a blessing to us. And we took that step and we left. Now, at the same time, or close to the same time, you guys were taking a step of your own. And so why don't you share, actually, I'm going to give you this one. Share about that, what was going on in your lives leading you to take a step.
Okay. If I can, I'm going to step back just a little bit because we are going to share about our call to Guatemala when we left. But as I was praying and thinking about it last night more, it wasn't nothing to Guatemala. There was a part about 3 to 4 years prior to that that we kind of reset our life and said, you know what, we are going to stop living for ourselves, and we're gonna commit to live for God. And we were talking about this, laying things down. And Brock left a job that was super demanding, and I wasn't thinking about it until last night, but to make himself more available. And we started selling some things. We started just kind of downgrading. We made a couple different moves, physical moves, and more than anything, I think we recommitted and reset our life to study God's Word, and not just me studying God's Word, not just him, but our family and individually, and we committed to start reading this for real and start doing what it said and start believing what it said, and so that was about 3 years prior to Guatemala. So during that time, when we just started to really read God's Word, something new that came into our heart that we had not felt like we read in God's Word prior was caring for the poor, our responsibility as Christians to care for the poor, to relieve physical suffering. And so we decided, okay, let's do that. And we started doing it. We started going out to the homeless. We started doing things. And because we felt like it was too hard, so we decided, you know what, we're not close enough to that, so we're going to put our house up for sale, and we're going to get somewhere we're closer, physically closer. So we put our house up for sale, and we're about to move to a place in St. Augustine where we were closer to the homeless because we wanted to be more available to them. So while our house was up for sale is when God then opened our eyes to world poverty through scripture, through reading other resources. At that time, with our house up for sale, not sold yet, on our way to St. Augustine, our hearts took a switch to world poverty, and then God crossed our paths miraculously with a missionary from Guatemala in a crazy way, and we took that as God's direction, and he came, we visited with him, he came, we went and visited Guatemala 4 months later, and we moved to Guatemala 4 months later. So it was continually laying things down to become more available, to hear God more, to move more. And at that point, we laid everything down. I mean, we sold our home, our possessions, left with our then 3 kids. I think we had like 10 bins, Tupperware bins packed, and we moved to Guatemala. We did not speak Spanish. We'd never been on a mission trip before in our life other than the visit to Guatemala prior, 4 months. We didn't know what a mission board was, where they actually send missionaries. We didn't even know what that was. And we showed up there without a plan, honestly. Our plan was to bring the hope and love of Jesus Christ and to relieve physical suffering. And so that's kind of, God reminded me last night that it didn't just go from nothing to Guatemala. It was steps of laying things down, making big changes, resetting our life to that. So
that's awesome. Yeah, hang on to that. Okay. Thanks for sharing that. That's one of the things we were talking about this morning. We kind of have some things we want to talk about, but it's kind of unscripted. We just want the Spirit to lead through this. So yeah. Thanks for sharing that. So in this process, right before they were getting ready to go, we were kind of gathering as a small group that was first in our house, and then we were in a small facility. One of the guys who we met, one of the families we met at Journey, the Bunsos, Carl and Danae, Carl knew Brock, and they were a part of Journey Church. And so Carl was like, I really want you to meet my friend. He's getting ready to move to Guatemala. And so I said, yeah, anytime, you know. And anyhow, it was like, I don't know, a month, 2 months. And I always joke with Brock, like, you know, it took us 2 months to meet, and we met like literally days before they moved to Guatemala. And I was just convinced that Brock just didn't like pastors. And so, but the truth is, honestly, I think Brock likes pastors more than I do, now that I know him. but maybe back then he didn't like him so much. But anyhow, we met. It grew on him a little bit. We met the week before they were getting ready to leave. We sat down and had a burger at over at the town center. Where did we go?
Five Guys.
Yeah. So with Carl, we finally got together, and Brock shared a little bit of their story. I was sharing our story, and there was just a connection there. But you know, it was a good lunch meeting. They left. You know, we continued doing what we were doing, and so then we kind of got, you know, just stayed connected. You want to share how, you know, just the what you guys first got there, things you were doing?
Yeah. So we, as Carrie was saying, arrived in Guatemala. No plan. No. In fact, the missionary family that we knew, when we got there, they left. So I'm not kidding. It was pretty much, here's the keys to your car, because they had helped us get that done, you know, while we were still stateside. Here's the keys to your car. We have to go back to the States. Good luck. And I'm exaggerating a little, but it was pretty much that, like within a couple of days. And so we were really just nervous, wandering, no idea where we were, what we were going to do, no connections with anyone, and no Spanish. And so I don't say that to recommend it necessarily, but that's how God worked in our lives at that point. And in terms of being available for us, this was, I think of the word available, and I think of like a calendar with available slots, you know, and we say, we're busy here, I'm available here, I'm available here. And I think when we're talking about being available for God, the scripture Vic mentioned in Romans 12, you know, presenting our bodies as a living sacrifice, that's how God expects our availability, is this reminder that, and Paul also talks a lot in Romans about the potter and the clay, that he is our creator. He created us for his purposes and for no other purpose. So we're created by him and for him. Our availability is literally our entire life. Everything that about us, everything that we have to offer, any gifts, any abilities, anything that we have, it is to be available to God all the time. And so for us, the story that Carrie was describing that got us, led us to getting to Guatemala, it really was that for us. It was making ourselves available to just say, and again, don't recommend the strategy, but we landed there and we're just like, God, we have nothing else. Like, we're just available. We have no other idea what's going on. And it kind of reminds me, I think it was Peter, this, you know, when Jesus was giving a tough teaching and people were leaving him, and he turned to the disciples and said, what about you? Are you guys going to leave too? And Peter was like, where are we going to go? Like, we gave up everything for this. That's how we felt. We were just there, available. And the one thing, eventually, through some different things, God led us to a specific village. And the thing we were overwhelmed with was simply the poverty, the living conditions, the way people were living. Cornstalk huts, dirt floors. It's super cold this high at the elevation that this community of Buena Vista is in. And so cornstalk, dirt floors, rainy season, just coming through the house, muddy. And we were just overwhelmed. Had never seen anything like that before. And our hearts were broken. And so the first thing we felt that we could do was raise some money and start building homes. We, one particular family, we were able to raise $3,000 through some three families, friends that were in our little home church back in Jacksonville. And so we built a house for one family for $3,000. And I think, if I remember the story right, word got back to Carl that we had done that. And Carl made some steps, Carl Bunso, to sell. He actually sold his truck, made $3,000 off of it, sent it to us to build another house. And so that, Vic, if you want to pick up there.
Yeah, so that's close to the story. So, the Lord put it on Carl's heart. He sold his truck. It was worth probably $500 or something. But no, whatever it was worth, then he begged, borrowed, and stole the rest. No, he didn't. No, he contributed to that. And then they went around sharing with people, and people contributed. And at the end of that, they were about $500 short. And we were had lunch, and Carl was like, hey, do you think the church would be interested in helping out build this home? And we were like, absolutely. Like, we've been praying about, like, we're I don't know, 30 people, 40 people at that point, but we're praying about getting connected to something globally. And, you know, we're like, yeah. And so we did that. And then when we did that, you know, I reconnected with Brock through email, and then we got some messages about the family we were building the house for. And that was when I got one email. I was sitting in Panera. I get this email, and it's this pastor who they built a home for, and he is three kids that are working. Their whole family's living on like $3 a day. I'm sitting there going like, man, the only difference between me and this guy is that he was born in Guatemala. And it just, the Spirit of God, it just broke me. So I'm sitting in Panera reading this email, like sobbing. And I just had this thought, you know, what if we didn't focus on our needs? Because, you know, we were growing at that point as a church, and we're thinking, what are we going to do? Because we got this small little place. What are we going to do next? But what if we built a house a month for the next 12 months for someone in need? And I went to our leadership team, and I shared the story, and everybody was like, that's the Lord. I mean, we've talked about doing church different. This is different. This little group of 40 or 50 people committing $3,000 a month that we really didn't have. We had some money in the bank, but we were kind of thinking, oh, well, maybe we'd use that for a building or paying more rent. And I remember I sent an email to Brock, and I was like, you know, I don't want to create work for this guy. Like, I don't know what they're doing ministry-wise, but I just remember sending this email saying, hey, listen, here's what happened, you know, as a result of me reading your email. And you know, I don't want this to be, if this is a burden on you in any way, you know, just... I said, but what if, you know, what if we were to send you $3,000 a month and ask you just to pray and be led by the Holy Spirit to build a house for whoever you feel like is in need? If that would be a blessing to you, that's something we want to do as a church. And I wish I would have printed out the email that you sent back, because at that moment, there were some things going on with you guys.
Actually, at that moment, there wasn't a lot going on with us.
Exactly.
Yeah. So we were, like, literally... We were, again, we were there with no connection to any ministry. So we were just hacking through life, you know, and praying and asking God, what are we doing here? What would you have us do? And so I get this email from Vic saying, hey, what do you think about this? We'll send you $3,000 a month, and you guys can just start feeling led and build homes. And what do you think? Would that be good? And I remember reading it just thinking, yeah, that would be really good. Yeah, that would actually give us something to do. So huge, huge answer to prayer for us. I think the coolest thing about that story for me that just points to God's glory and sovereignty and hand over all of it was that God used that in their community, because I think that money that had been raised was otherwise going to go to a building fund, or was in a building fund, otherwise going to help them get a more established in a place. And they felt led to give it away. For us, it really came as wind in our sail to get busy in ministry and give us some initiative and some purpose, and which got us inside people's homes. And that point leads eventually to the Boys Academy that God led us to start. But at this point in our journey, we were inside people's homes building these houses. and we were able to spend basically a month with them at a time. So we would get this $3,000, we would start construction, we hired a few local guys to build, and it would get us in the home, and we would spend a month with a family. And out of the 12 homes that were built out of that, I went back and looked at the website last night to make sure my numbers were right, but 10 out of the 12, the man in the home was either addicted, abusive, or not there. And so imagine that first year for us. It had a lot of ministry opportunity with men for me, but it was also pretty overwhelming because we're talking about men who are locked into a pattern, a way of life, that became very clear that this was the community we were in, that this was the representation of the male figure in this village of Buena Vista, that all of them, for the most part, were either addicted, abusive, or not there. And so that's when God laid on our heart, and I actually remember a leadership team from Journey being with us when we really, on our knees, just asked God how we could reach out to the youth in this area in order to break these cycles, these generational cycles, where these boys were just wanting to be like and copying their dads. And in fact, a couple of them in particular really came back to my memory last night, and one was Brian, which was a family that Vic and Roxanne kind of adopted. But this young boy, Brian, who without God's intervention would become his father. And he was just one example of many, but that's what led us to really change our model of ministry and choose to dedicate our attention to the boys of this community in an effort to break these cycles that had been repeated for generations. And this was also another time where God asked us about our availability again. We felt like God, that this model of ministry would be long-term, and that God was asking us, are you available and able and willing to stay long-term and see this ministry model through?
Yeah, so during that time, as we're building these houses, there's many people in this room who were available, you know, as they heard these stories, because we didn't raise money for this. All we did was we committed to build a house. We would put a picture up on the screen, tell people, hey, this is the so-and-so family, be praying for them. We're building a home for them. And then, you know, and we told them we're going to build a house a month for the next 12 months. And all of a sudden, like, checks started showing up in the offering. I want to be a part of what's going on in Guatemala. I want to build a home. And single girl in college, you know, it was just crazy. People in the, you know, I want to build two homes for someone. And at the end of that time, we had not only built, I think it ended up being like 13 homes in that 12-month period. But at the end of that time, we actually ended up having more money in our bank account in the church than when we started. So we didn't lose anything. God just multiplied it. We saw God doing some incredible things through people. Now, during that time, we did come on a leadership team trip with me and Pete and Tom and Ryan. And it was, Ryan, were you with us on that or you come afterwards? He came afterwards. Okay, so we all went there and saw it and kind of caught fire and shared that. Well, the first team that went, I wasn't actually on. Roxanne was on the first team that went from Journey. And so we're sending this missions team to Guatemala. And, you know, Guatemala, there's parts of it that are real dangerous. And so that raised a lot of questions with a lot of people. So maybe you can share, let me get you turning on here. You can share a little bit about that experience going on that trip.
Okay, before I start that, I'm going to jump back.
Go ahead. Yeah, it was a small group of people at that point.
Like, committing to this? But aren't you glad? I'm so thankful that God just pressed upon me. There are times to be quiet, and there are times to trust and to lead. And I'm so thankful for the leadership team who said yes. So I think that's important, that sometimes you really need to be obedient to what God's impressing on you. We don't always need to say what we're thinking. And I'm so thankful I didn't.
Thank you.
So I'm thinking about obstacles to being
just discouraging me. And then, if you know me at all, I went to Costco, and I talked to anyone, and I met a stranger, and we're talking about Guatemala somehow, and she said, if you go and you have on your ring, they're going to chop off your finger before you leave the airport.
Awesome. Thanks, babe. So, you know, in this process, I'll just tell you, we had times in the early part of this church where early on, I mean, it seemed like every other Monday I wanted to quit. And, I mean, seriously, I'd come home and just discouragement from whatever. Dennis and Eve, who I told you were with us and really close, and within the first year they ended up leaving, and that was really tough. And so, you know, there's going to be opposition, and you know, we've got to decide, are we, you know, first of all, have we heard the Lord, and then are we going to follow, and are we going to obey? And so that leads me to thinking about one family that was here, actually on our leadership team on that early trip, the Steeds, who many of you know if you've been here, because now they're missionaries in Guatemala. Well, they were just people like all of us, you know, sitting here Sunday, day in, day out. But, you know, they made their lives available to the Lord while they were here. They reached out to refugees and in so many different ways. They opened their home, and Chris was on our leadership team. He was on one of those early trips and some subsequent trips, and felt the Lord calling them to go to Guatemala. I remember, I'll confess this to you, I remember the first time Chris came to me, and he's like, listen, I'm having these crazy thoughts. Like, I feel like we're supposed to go, and we're supposed to be there, and I was like, Chris, everyone feels that after a mission trip, you know. I mean, I'm like, just pray, you know, Lord, you know, that's how you always feel after. And he couldn't shake it, and the Lord was calling their family, and he and Holly weren't on the same page at the, you know, at the very beginning, and it took a year before the Lord really spoke to her and moved her, and then they ended up moving to Guatemala, and they ended up taking over and leading the 1212 Love Project, which then moved Brock and Carrie to kind of focus more on BVSA. And so I want to go to the part about building the facility, when you guys first started building the facility, and just tell the beginning of that story, when they started, and the little interaction that we had.
For us, kind of a new season, some energy, some vision, the Steeds coming. God also brought us some other families, some good friends stateside that moved and joined in the ministry work in the area, the Steeds. We met the Levas, a local family that joined us in ministry. And so with the Steeds taking over 1212 and the home construction, we were able to put our full heart in this ministry to boys, BVSA, Soccer Academy. And I think the story you're referring to is the very beginning of our construction for our facility. We had a local builder who was also a Christian that God connected us with. And we had, you know, most of my visions are drawn on napkins. I kind of have a history of doing that. And I showed that to, his name was Tito, our builder, and had this idea. And he, you know, agreed, and he could do it. And we were just kind of talking about the basics. A couple weeks later, he said, okay, we can start next week. I'll send out the backhoes to start cutting and filling and doing your work. I'll just need $9,000 by Friday to pay our guys for the week. We had no money at this point. And so we were like, Tito, we're not ready to start. We don't actually have money yet. We haven't put out any kind of fundraiser. It was just kind of a picture on a napkin at this point. And Tito stepped out in faith and shook my hand over a McDonald's McMuffin and said, well, let's do it anyway. And I was like, seriously? And so this guy actually nudged me faith-wise and said, man, I'll send the crew out. Let's go for it. And so we shook hands, and literally this was like a Saturday. Monday, crew was out on the site digging and working on the facility. We did not have the money to pay them on Friday, but I'll let Vic, you want to pick it up from there?
So right at the same time, I'm talking to a guy here at Journey, and again, for those of you who are new, we just changed the name from Journey Church to Emmaus. So when I refer back to that, you know, we changed the name about 4 years ago. And he was struggling in his faith. He was having some real deep struggles, like questioning, you know, is God really here? Is God with me? I feel like when I pray, he doesn't hear me. I don't see him working in my life. And so Brock sent me an email telling me about what happened as a result of that need. Yeah. You share that part.
Yeah, so this was like on a, if I remember right, the guys came out on a Monday and started working. On Tuesday, I woke up and was checking my emails, and there was a $9,000 deposit in our PayPal account from a name that I had never heard of. And so we were just absolutely blown away. We were trying to think of how somebody would have known, but we hadn't shared it yet. And so God had provided this $9,000 through someone who, over the first year of our ministry, had never supported us. And I didn't even recognize the name. And yeah. So I was sharing that story with Vic just out of, like, you know, me being excited about it.
Yeah, so Brock shares that story with me, and I'm just like, this is, you know, $9,000 need. A couple days later, that need's met, like, exactly what they need, and they keep the project going. And like, this is awesome. Well, I'm supposed to meet with this guy, and he's struggling with his faith. Like, I don't know if God hears me. I don't even know if God's working. You know, I don't know if he's really there. Is he even real? And so I just had heard this story, and it fired me up. So I'm sitting down with this guy for coffee, and we're talking, and he's sharing his heart and how he just doesn't, he's not hearing God. And I go, well, listen, let me just tell you this story. And I tell him this story about this need in Guatemala and how they're praying and believing, and all of a sudden, you know, they haven't even put out, you know, the request, and all of a sudden this money shows up and it's exactly what they need, like a couple days later. And the guy I'm sitting with all of a sudden just starts weeping, and he just starts tearing up, and he goes, I sent that money. And I was like, what? And he goes, yeah. He said I've been thinking about it for a long time. Like I was going to do it a month ago, and I just happened to do it. And then he's bawling. I start crying. I'm like, this is crazy, right? Like, I mean, here's a guy who's going, I don't think God's here. And God uses him in the midst of that, you know? And again, he had some resources. He was available. He heard God. God moved him. And so, you know, just, again, we say the big things, the smaller things, just making sure that we're in that place where we're hearing God, where we're listening, and we're available. So now let's fast forward. So now you guys have come back here. You're here seeking God as to what your next step is in ministry. And in the next 10 minutes, maybe share kind of a little bit of that story.
Yeah, so our ministry, moving along for several years at this point, stable. The Levas are a family that has moved into leadership there. We've spent a lot of time discipling young leaders as well. And so the ministry in Buena Vista was becoming something that could function and run without us, which was our hope from the beginning, that it could be handed to locals. And during that time also, we planted another ministry in Honduras as well that some missionaries are running now. And so we were just starting to feel, in conjunction with that, eyes were being opened towards the religion of Islam and how fast it's growing, and also the 1040 window, which is just a latitude-longitude box on the globe where 90-plus percent of the unreached people groups in the world are located. And some statistics really grabbed our heart as we were spending time in prayer for this 1040 window, that less than 10% of the world's missionaries are inside that box. And we just couldn't believe that. So we started researching that, and like just out of disbelief for that, we started praying and just, again, making ourselves available to God and telling him that we were willing to go and that we want to be where the greatest need is. And so we kind of went through a couple years of, you know, praying for that part of the world, asking God if he would have us go to that part of the world. And that was coinciding with the ministries there in Central America really stabilizing as far as leadership. And so through a connection to another missionary in Iraq, we were kind of pushed to leave Guatemala, leave those ministries in good hands, move back stateside, and make preparation to move to Iraq. So that's what brought us back to the States. When we came here, we felt like God was asking us to rest for a season. That is something that we don't do well at all, and needed it as a family. And it was really clear. We felt like God told us to rest for 3 months. We actually put this out before our leadership team, and after a lot of back and forth, we decided 3 months was the time that God would have us be quiet. During that time, God kept saying to us, no, I mean really quiet. Like, don't work. Just be with me. Even time with friends, and don't get into like just meeting with people and being stateside and embracing it that way just yet. Just be quiet. We kept hearing the Lord say, be still, be with me, be quiet with me. And so we took 90 days and did that. And it was really refreshing for our souls. But also during that time, God moved some things. And at the very end of that, we were sitting right here at Emmaus, and there was a couple up here sharing, Rick and Elizabeth Arnold, who were part of Grace Fellowship before, and missionaries now that Emmaus supports. And they were sharing about their ministry in West Africa, in the country of Senegal. And they did their presentation, and at the very end, Rick said, before I step down, I just want to ask for some prayer about something specific. He said, we're actually praying that somebody would come and help us start a soccer ministry in our community. And so, of course, Carrie and I were just like, what did he just say? And he went on to say that they have been in this village for 28 years. Only 3 people have come to faith in Christ over that 28 years of ministry. I want you guys to think about that. Talk about just endurance and perseverance in ministry. That does not speak to failure in ministry. That speaks to how hard it is to be in that type of they're in the bush. They're 10 to 13 hours, depending on traffic, depending on the roads, from an airport. And so they're way out, very hard ministry, an unreached people group, 100% unreached. And in 28 years, 3 people had come to faith. And he was sharing how recently he's been putting a soccer ball out on their property, and the young boys in the village are just flocking to his facilities to play soccer. And so he was asking for help, saying that we've cultivated this community. We're recognizing how the boys come whenever we are willing to play soccer with them. And we just are praying for a ministry to come and help us with that. And so really from that until now, about 3 or 4 other just amazing confirmations have happened to where we feel 100% certain that this is where God has us going next. It was a change from what we thought, but I think that 3 months of quiet really helped us become available again and take our minds off of just being dialed into what we thought was next. And God spoke, and he redirected it. If I could share one more story.
I was going to say, share the story of...
Yeah, so after the Arnold shared that day, literally like the next day, we were leaving to go on our anniversary trip. And so I kind of dropped the ball and didn't follow up with that contact. Then I got an email from Kristen Friend, who I don't know where she's at. Is she here somewhere?
She's here today. But
from someone here at Emmaus who sent me an email and said, hey, Brock, I don't mean to meddle, but I feel spirit-led to share this. I've got some friends, the Arnolds, who are looking to start a soccer ministry. I know you're back stateside praying about where to start your next soccer ministry. I thought I might connect you guys if you're interested in talking. And so I literally felt convicted that I had not already reached out to Rick after that. And so based on that, I reached out to him. We got together and started talking. After beginning the initial conversations with Rick, I was telling Vic about this new connection. And after our lunch, I got home and Vic had forwarded me an email. So stick with me on this for a second. I get home, I've got an email from Vic that says, "Bro, you've got to read this." So I'm scrolling down. Now, if you don't know, our academy in Guatemala and Honduras, we're the Rhinos. That's our mascot, and it has deep meaning for us, like deep meaning. It's very purposeful, and we're passionate about it, right, the Rhinos. So he says, "Bro, you got to read this." And I'm reading down, and there's a picture of Rick. It's an update from the Arnolds that they had sent out before they came back stateside. So this was their last update from Senegal that he was forwarding to me. And there was a picture of Rick with a bunch of boys with a soccer ball and a trophy, and it was talking about the tournament that they had just played in. And underneath it says, "The Senegal Rhinos." Not kidding. So I start reading it, and he's referring to his Rhinos. "So proud of my Rhinos. We didn't win. We came in second, but I'm so proud of my Rhinos. My Rhinos fought hard," and just on and on about the Rhinos. I could not believe it, guys. We have been the Rhinos, I don't know, 8 years, and just so passionate about that name because of its meaning. And that really was a moment where I knew that I knew that I knew that God was connecting this with purpose. And really, ever since then, we've been getting to know them and seeing more confirmation. And so we're making plans now and preparing. We're going to visit in June, and then we're preparing to move the start of next year. So if you'll be in prayer with us on that, we're also seeking missionary families to join us in that. We've got a couple potential ones that we're talking to now, but we're always hoping to grow the academy into new countries and new places, and we'll be able to do that as fast as God sends us missionaries to partner with. So,
can I just say something real
quick? Yeah, absolutely.
One thing I just want to share really quickly. I feel like we've talked a lot about ourselves and how God has worked all in and through our life. And I just want to say that he's so faithful. And if you hear anything from us today as we share, as we have stepped out and obeyed what he has said to do, he has been so faithful and good to us. He's been our provider. He's been our protector. He's been our defender. He's been our helper. He's been all the things that he says he is in this. And when we don't make ourselves available to know if he's even these things that he says that he is in here, we're missing out, because it's so good. It is so good, you guys. Just step on out and do it.
No,
this is ours.
Yeah. Thanks for sharing. That's all. One thing I wanted to say about Kristen, who sent that email, those of you who know her, she's just made herself available. She's just a part of the body here at Emmaus, but she's become our missions communications kind of director. We don't really have a title for it, but she does all the communications between missionaries and us and sets up every time you see a slide up here for a missions moment, that's her. She does all that. It's just her part she wants to do. And so being available and seeing these things, and she connects the dots, and just to see how God uses that is pretty amazing. Levi, I'm going to ask you and the team to come up, and I'm going to share a couple more things before we close. We were gifted this building, I don't know, 5 years ago that you're sitting in, from Grace Fellowship Church. We added on that section there. And I'm going to be honest with you. I mean, even though it was a gift that was worth probably a couple of million dollars, our leadership team, just we questioned, like, okay, God, is this from you? Because it's not what we expected. I mean, we were meeting over off a university, like in a hidden back in an industrial area. And I really thought, like, if God was going to give us a facility, it'd be like an old warehouse off of Emerson or something where there was really need for ministry, right? Not out here near Kernan, a beach in Kernan, and all these wealthy people. Like, they don't need another church. And so we're like, really, God, is this from you? Which sounds crazy. And, you know, we've moved out here and we've seen God do things. And but I can't say that I've really had a satisfactory answer, like, you know, it's just been like, okay, he gave us this because we needed a facility to meet in, you know. But here's the thing that just came to me recently. I was sharing with Brock, and just a what if, right? So the Arnolds were missionaries that Grace Fellowship was supporting, as were Van Pelt's and some others. When we took the gift of the building and all this stuff happened, we committed to support their missionaries at least for 2 years. Well, it's been 4 years now. We continue to support all of them. But in that process, we got to know the Arnolds. And in that process, you know, when the Arnolds came back, they shared that mission moment. And in that process, Brock and Carrie were sitting out there. And I just, what if this whole thing, at least in part, this gift that God gave to us really wasn't about us at all? What if it's about an unreached people group in Senegal? Only three people have come to know Christ, and they don't hear the gospel regularly. What if it was about this connection and whatever God's going to do in the future, just like we've seen him do in Guatemala over those last 10 years? I mean, we put it past God to do something like that? God does amazing, amazing things. So I want to ask you to stand with me. I'm going to read you a passage of scripture. I want to put out a little bit of a challenge to us. We're going to sing a song. As always, there's communion on either side of the stage and in the back. So if you feel led to have a moment of communion, I want to invite you to do that. But this jumped out at me. I was doing my Bible study on Tuesday morning with some guys. We were reading through Luke chapter 7. It's just one verse that was kind of obscure, but it jumped out at me. And just as we're talking about all this, I want to share it with you. But it's a moment where John the Baptist is questioning, like, is he really the Messiah? Is he the one who he said he was? And they come back and they tell him all the things that Jesus has done. And then this is what it says in Luke 7, 29 to 30. When they heard this, all the people, even the tax collectors, agreed that God's way was right, for they had been baptized by John. But the Pharisees and the experts in the religious law rejected God's plan for them, for they had refused John's baptism. And the thing that stood out to me was that the Pharisees and the religious leaders, the experts in the law, they rejected God's plan for them. It's not that God didn't have a plan for them. Wasn't like, oh, those guys were, you know, they were, God didn't want to have anything to do with them. No, God had a plan for them, and they rejected it. And I just want to throw that out to us as we're talking about being available, we're talking about slowing down, we're talking about listening. God has a plan. Brock said it earlier. We're created by him and for him. He has a plan for all of us. And it's up to us whether we receive that and accept that or we reject that. And so in just a moment, we're gonna sing this song. And I got two things I want to invite you toward here. One, communion is up here and in the back. But also, I haven't even told you guys this, but we're gonna be available up here. And if any of you are just feeling this morning, you know what? I just want to be available. Whatever God would call me to do, and you want someone to pray with you about that, we're gonna be up here and just pray for you and pray with you. Just saying, God, I want to be available. Whatever you have for me, feel free to come up, okay? As people are coming up and sharing communion, come up, and we'd love to pray with you. But let's just worship as we sing this last song and worship him. And this song is really appropriate, just saying, God, I want to give you my life. I want to be poured out for you, whatever it is you'd have for me. And so I want to pray for us, and then again, as you feel led, if you want us to pray with you, we'd love to do that. God, thank you. Thank you for your faithfulness, Lord. God, your word's real clear. Even when we're not faithful, you are. And the things that you want to do in this world, you'll get them done. And it's always amazing to me that you'd use people like us, flawed, sinful people who we just make ourselves available. And so, God, I just pray that for all of us in here, that we'd see ourselves as significant in your plan. You have a plan for each person in this room. God, it's my hope and my prayer that we would surrender to that plan, Lord. We wouldn't be like those Pharisees and the religious leaders who rejected your plan. God, that we would get in line with it, that we would surrender to it, whatever it takes, wherever you'd call us, whatever you want us to do. God, make us an offering that you would get the glory, God. We pray and we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. If you want us to pray for you, come on down. We'd love to pray for you if you want to share communion or if you just want to sit and worship and sing this song.